You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Back-to-back years, they go with a similar player, but not at all the same player, Chris.
Right, yeah, I think that's the way that they looked at this draft. And I think, guys, that's the way they had to look at this draft. Because they're so early into this rebuild, and I wrote about it the other day where it was just a story. It wasn't something that I was trying to revisit necessarily in 2012, but it was a story of the Cavs believing that Damian Lillard was the best player in the draft or one of the best players in the draft, but they felt like they couldn't go with him because of how it would conflict with Kyrie Irving. And the Cavs were talking all along throughout this process that they didn't want to repeat old mistakes. And the Cavs were also talking all along through this process that it's just so early in this rebuild for them to start focusing on fit and how everything has to be perfect in order to put a lineup together. So they focused on talent, and they put their faith in John Beilein, the head coach, that he's going to find a way to take two, I guess, non-traditional guards and make that backcourt work in a way that the Portland Trailblazers have recently. Not saying that these two guys are Dame and CJ, but that's the kind of vision that they have going forward.
Chris Fedor joining us, 92.3 The Fan, Cleveland.com, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Chris, when you get to a guy like Kevin Porter, I think he's just so interesting. I'll gloss over Wendler here for a second, but Kevin Porter, What led them to that decision and then to squeeze a trigger on a trade to go after Kevin Porter Jr. when there is some baggage there with the young man?
Yeah, so the Cavs were on Porter all along. They met with him at the combine, and they had a very, very quiet private workout with him on June 9th in Cleveland. So this was somebody that they really liked, and at least one member of the Cavs front office believed all along, and I wrote this all along, that in terms of just pure talent, Kevin Porter Jr., from what he did in the pre-college camps and the flashes that he showed in his freshman year at USC, was one of the 10 most talented players in this year's draft. Now, he was never going to go that high. They were not going to consider him that high necessarily because of the off-the-court stuff. They had to gather intel on what went wrong in USC, what led to the two-game suspension. They had to figure out how much his injury that he dealt with while at USC played a part in the role that he had for the team, the numbers that he put up for the team. But just like in terms of pure talent, the Cavs were always tantalized by him. And I think when he continued to slide down the board, the Cavs saw a real opportunity to go out and use some of the assets that they had acquired over the past couple of years, toss those at the Milwaukee Bucks / Detroit Pistons, and find a way to get this guy and believe that John Beilein, again, is going to get the most out of this kid in a way that maybe USC didn't in college.
I totally agree with that. He was one of the guys that I targeted yesterday. I know, Chris, you were high on him too, and I actually compared him to Jarrett Culver. Now, I know Culver was the better prospect coming out, but I thought overall talent-wise, this is somebody who, if it ever clicks, he could be there. What shocked me was on a bad team, USC team, and I know there was some unrest in that team, and I know they're bringing back Enfield, and I'm a little surprised, but it's a guy that shot over 40% from three in college, only 50% from the free throw line, which is odd. That's a total oddity that you don't see often, and still only got 7.5 shots a game for a guy as talented as he was, who was the most talented on that team. That really surprised me.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And again, the Cavs are banking on their coaching staff finding a way to get through to him. And that's the thing that it's going to have to happen for him. He's going to have to mature. He's going to have to learn how to become a professional. And yes, the Cavs feel like if those things click, then this is the kind of guy that can certainly outplay his draft position. I think there was somebody that was talking on ESPN last night about Porter maybe being the best one-on-one player in the entire NBA, and I think having that kind of guy would be helpful for the Cavs moving forward, because I don't know exactly what they're trying to build from an offensive standpoint. It remains to be seen, because John Beilein is new to the NBA, and I think he's got to figure out what's going to work for him and what's going to work for this group. But having somebody who can just like go out and get you a bucket at any time, it would seem like he would be a likely replacement into the future for Jordan Clarkson, who's probably not long for this organization.
We got Chris Fedor. He joins us on the hotline right now. Chris, so where? Let me get into some other things here, and then we'll get back to the draft. What's going on with the J.R. Smith contract?
So this is tricky because a lot of the contracts that opposing teams wanted the Cavs to take back were guys who simply can't play. And I think the Cavs all along went into this situation hoping that if they were going to take back a bad contract that was going to put them into the luxury tax and make it hard for them to get out of that and make it so that they would have restricted moves throughout the course of the season, they're at least saying, okay, we want somebody who can give us some minutes here the way that Brandon Knight did last year for the Cavs. Even though he was a bad contract, he could play. Even though John Henson was a quote-unquote bad contract, theoretically, he can play. Same with Matthew Dellavedova. And everything that I had heard is that Miami kept pushing Ryan Anderson over and over and over again. He's got a horrible contract, and he's not going to get minutes anywhere because he just can't play. So I think that makes it hard for the Cavs because other teams know their cap situation. Other teams know that they're going to be fighting basically all year to get out of the luxury tax so that they don't have to pay the penalties. And because they don't want to be restricted in some of the moves that they can make throughout the season heading into 2020. So the Cavs feel like they still have some time to try and figure this out. But that becomes a legitimate hurdle for them where they are in terms of their contracts.
Chris Fedor, join us on the hotline. I'm going to read you off some stats from the 1998 season, 98-99 season for one Wally Szczerbiak, who was taken sixth overall. So bear with me here. That was his senior year at Miami, mid-major. 21 points a game, 11 rebounds a game, 85 for the charity stripe, and 43% from three and 66% from two. That's Wally Szczerbiak's senior year. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not Wally Szczerbiak's senior year, Chris Fedor. That is new Cleveland Cavalier Dylan Widener, who actually had better stats.
Windler.
Whatever.
What
it doesn't
big
matter.
Basketball fan he is,
it doesn't
folks.
Matter. The fact is, he had better stats than Wally Szczerbiak did in his senior year at a mid-major. Did we get a steal, considering they didn't take him at number six?
I'm glad that you brought up Wally Szczerbiak, because the minute the pick was announced that it was actually Dylan Windler, there was somebody, I'm not going to reveal the name, somebody in the Cavs media draft room that was like, we just drafted Luke Jackson again. So, look, I don't know that it's necessarily a steal. I just know that the Cavs went into this draft knowing that they needed to get some shooting. Like, they had a list of things that they wanted to accomplish this offseason and prioritize this offseason. And shooting was near the top of that list. They were 28th in field goal percentage. They were 20th in three-pointers made per game. And three of their better shooters are no longer on this roster or aren't going to be on this roster coming into this year. So that was something that they prioritized. And every single draft pick shoots better than 40% from three-point range in college. Is it going to translate? I don't know. But Dylan Windler is a scorer, a rebounder, and a shooter. Like, these are things that would seem to fit well in John Beilein's system where it's one in, four out. And I think having him as like a floor-spacing wing is a lot different than having somebody like Jetty Osman, who is more like a slashing playmaking type wing. Now, Jetty got better as a three-point shooter, and kudos to him throughout the course of the season for working on that. But this guy is considered somebody who can fill it up from long range. I heard the comparison to Kevin Huerter last night.
I think that's exciting. Look, it's a shot, and what I said, Chris, is that if of the four picks, the three this year in the first round and Colin Sexton last year, if one of those guys is better than just an all-star, is better than that, then I think they're in the right direction, because you can't do anything in this league until you get one of those guys. And we know the Cavs are going to be hard-pressed to do that in free agency, especially with no cap space this year. Obviously, they're freeing it up for a couple of years from now.
Yeah, and I think if there is a guy like that, it's most likely to be Darius Garland. I mean, this is a guy who was a ballyhooed recruit in high school. He had offers from Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, UCLA, Indiana, and he chose to go to Vanderbilt because it was closer to home and because Bryce Drew was the head coach at Vanderbilt and they had a relationship. I think I saw something on ESPN's analytics department saying that like he had the third best chance to be an all-star out of this class, but he also had a chance to be a non-rotational player. Like, that's the gamble I think the Cavs realistically took. This is somebody who played five games at Vanderbilt, right? I mean, there's not a lot of data on him. You really do have to go back to the Nike EYBL stuff and the McDonald's All-American game and the Team USA intel that the Cavs were able to get and why he was cut from the under-16, under-17 team from Team USA. And they had to go back to all these different data points to collect as much as they possibly could because there just wasn't a lot available. But he has that kind of talent, that kind of ability, where if you look at some of the elite point guards in the NBA and how they're successful, like that's this kid. He was on pace to be one of the best pick-and-roll players in all of college basketball last year before he got hurt. He shoots from 30 feet with little effort, right? He can shoot off the dribble or in catch and shoot situations. He can play the one, he can play the two. So I think he's got obviously the most star power of anybody. And then at 26, the Cavs kept telling me repeatedly, they were just looking for somebody who could fill this rotation. A rotational piece is about the best they could ask out of 26 and then 30, of course. So if that happens, yeah, I definitely think the Cavs are on the right path. But they're probably going to have to go through the draft next year and the year after and continue to build this thing and put the sturdy foundation in place before the wins actually come with it.
Chris, we thank you very much for the time. All the best, my friend. Take care.
You got it, guys.
Chris Fedor on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, 216-578-0092.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.